Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Brave Podcast. This is episode 54. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I hope you guys enjoyed last week's Brave Bites. And if you haven't gotten a chance to, I put a link to my pterodactyl ride in the show notes. It's also going to be on my Instagram page, so you can watch my terror in real time if you would like. I hope you guys enjoyed that little story. And if you guys do, honestly, if you have ideas for what you want me to talk about during my Brave Bites session, let me know. I'm even toying around with the idea of doing lives and conquering fears on camera. And so I've talked to my friend Tammy Jo about this. She's graciously volunteered to be like the first person to do this with me. And I may hold a tarantula. Don't know when that's going to happen. I will be sure to tell you guys when I do this so you can see it, because I don't like spiders. I mean, if they're little, you know, it's fine. I can smash them with my shoe. Sorry if you don't like that. But it's just, if they're in my house and they're little, I usually take care of them. I usually take them out. I'm sorry. I'm totally doing a bunny chow right now. But because they end up in my hair, I have really curly hair. And for some reason, I have been walking around my house or been at work and one has descended out of my hair. So I do not like spiders for that reason. So usually if they're in my house, I dispose of them pretty quickly. But when they're really big, I don't want to touch them. That might be my first live with my friend Tammy Jo, who is awesome and decided to do that with me. So I'll let you guys know when that does happen. When I get up the courage to do it, I will let you know. And there's some other ones I'm thinking of doing. So I hope you're enjoying the Brave Bites. All right, so on to this week's guest, since I totally bunny trailed about spiders. I'm sorry, guys. This week's guest is Alexis Goring. Alexis is a writer, editor, journalist. She has done it all. If you are a writer and want to know what it is to be in the writing realm and field, this is a great podcast interview for you. It was very informative to me. All things that she's done, she's self-published, she's worked with traditional publishers, and she is very candid and very open about her writing journey and why she started writing. Really cool interview. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And without further ado, here is my interview with Alexis Goring. All right. This is the Brave Podcast, and I'm your host, Alexis Newland. My guest today is Alexis Goring. So Alexis, I'll have you introduce yourself and tell people why you're awesome.
Oh, you're sweet. I'm glad you think I'm awesome, friend. So my name is Alexis. I'm a blogger, author, editor, writer, and one of my favorite hobbies is photography, especially food photography. And I love food. I'm a total foodie, and I love Jesus, and I want to just show the world his love and educate them about God and tell them how much God loves them.
Very cool. What's your favorite food?
Girl, so much. Like, some of my favorite entrees are Filipino dishes that are all vegetarian.
Okay.
I like Mexican food. I like West Indian food. My dad's from Barbados. And I like just so many different kinds of foods. Like, my favorite Indian dish is chicken tikka masala. Awesome. And I love to wash that down with a mango lassi. You had it too?
Yes. I love, I'm a foodie too. I will try anything at least once. There's some things that are like on my no list. Chitlins is on my no list. My sister made them and she had me sample them. And I was like, this is an absolutely not. I can't eat this. But most things I will try. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a picky eater. I love food, but I'm a picky eater. Like, the only meat I really eat is like chicken and the holidays turkey and sometimes lamb. That's it. Yeah.
All right. So you have a blog called Capturing the Idea, correct? Am I getting that right?
Oh. It's okay. A lot of people get the blog's address confused with the name. The blog's name is God is Love, and the address is capturingtheidea.blogspot.com. But I can understand why a lot of people get that confused. But you see, godislove.com was not available when I first founded my blog, so that went out the window.
What got you to start your blog?
Oh, let me think. It was so long ago. I remember I started it in August 2010. Okay. And I don't remember why I started it. I'm trying to think, why did I start my blog? Oh, I think I remember why. So prior to 2010, I was in my first Bible study with some peers. Mm-hmm. We were all between ages 19 and early to mid 20s. And I remember that I used to just take notes because I liked what was said so much that I wanted to remind myself later. And then people started asking me for my notes. I said, sure, what's your email address? So I would go home and type it out and then email it. But that kept growing and growing and growing. And every time we got a new member to our Bible study, they'd be like, oh, there's notes. I want to read it from the past meeting, too. Send me your notes, too. So every new member, I always take down their name and email address. And it turned out to be a list of about, I think, 50 or I think now I have about 100 on the list, but it was just like an email list that I would send notes to after Bible study once a week. And that just grew to the point where I also started sending out inspirational videos and quotes and songs and messages that I would find online to my email list. However, after about a year of doing that, I started getting some replies saying, Alexis, I love these messages, but they're flooding my inbox. Please remove me from your list. And after getting about maybe five or more of those in a few months, I said, okay, so how else can I share inspiration that I find online or write myself? How can I share that with people without annoying them or flooding their inbox? I was like, oh, I know blogs are a thing now. Maybe I'll do that. So I started my own blog. I called it God is Love. I came up with the address, capturing the idea, and I started it. And so I decided that it'd be great to have this one central place where people can visit as often or as less as they want to, or not be annoyed by me flooding their inbox. That's how it started.
Okay. What causes you to want to ex inspire others and encourage others?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me think. Well, I know that two of my spiritual gifts are encouragement and exhortation. So it's kind of an innate thing for me. I've always wanted to encourage and inspire people just because I just enjoy seeing people smile and be happy and encouraged and inspired, if that answers your question.
Okay, yeah. And so what encourages you?
Okay, let's see. What encourages me? Let me think about that too. Such good questions, Alexis. God, of course, because the whole, I call John 3:16, it's a verse in the Bible. I call it the Bible in a nutshell because I think the entire message in every single book and every single chapter of the Bible is based off of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is the core message of that wonderful book. And so that always encourages me, especially as this world gets crazier and crazier and more dangerous. It's just important to remember your anchor, if you believe in God. And if you don't believe in God, I'd advise you to get to know him through his son Jesus, because we all need hope. I'm sure you don't even need to turn on the news anymore to see that we all need hope. And Jesus, yeah, and Jesus is the light of the world, and he's our hope forever. He's not going anywhere, and he doesn't change. And the Bible talks about how, I don't remember what chapter is in, but I remember there's a verse in there. You can Google it later. Anyone who's listening wants to know. It talks about how if we make our bed in the depths of hell, God is there with us. And if we ascend on the wings of a dove, which today I would liken to, getting on an airplane, flying in the sky, God is there too. So God is everywhere. And the Bible also says he's never leaving us or forsaking us. And that gives me such hope and joy and inspiration.
Okay, I love that. And so you mentioned that if people don't know Jesus, they should get to know him. How would you point someone in that direction if they wanted to get to know Jesus? Like, I don't know who Jesus is. Like, how would I even start the conversation, or where would I look? What would you tell someone?
As to where to look, I would always say the Bible. If you can't buy a physical copy of the Bible, I would say to go to BibleGateway.com and join, and also download the YouVersion app to your phone. I just discovered they do stories for you every day as a free member of YouVersion app, and it's like so cool. It's like a little, how Instagram stories look, is set up like that. And you click on it, and it's like they'll have like a, it'll say, good morning, Alexis. It'll say your name. For me, it says Alexis. Before we begin, let's just clear your mind and focus on God and his goodness. So you spend like a minute just calming down and like tuning out the world and tuning in to God. And then usually they have a Bible verse in the first page of the story, and then the next page they have like a pastor or a Christian musician or somebody who's faith-based giving you a devotional message for a minute or two. And then it has a few more scripture and some reflection questions and Bible verses for you to look up and read and reflect on. It's really great. So I would say that's a great way to get to know God. But don't just like pick up a Bible and just start reading it. You have to pray that God will guide you and send the Holy Spirit to instruct you. Because if you just read the Bible like a regular book and you don't pray for understanding, then you won't understand what you're reading, or you may just dismiss it or think it doesn't make sense. I think, what's that verse that says spiritual things are spiritually discerned or something like that?
I'm kind of familiar. I'll have to Google it too.
You have to read the Bible through a spiritual lens. You can't just read it through natural eyes, or you're not going to understand a lot of the metaphors and the parables and a lot of other things that is spoken and by God and that word. But yeah, I would say definitely prayer and Bible study are two of the most key and fundamental ways to get to know God and Jesus and see how much he loves you. And I know someone once told me that her daughter told her one day, "Mom, I'm envious of my friends who know Jesus." And she's like, "Why?" And she's like, "Because they have a foundation that I don't have." And I wanted to tell her, I don't know what I told her, but I wanted to tell her, well, you could tell your daughter she can know Jesus too, even better if she wants to spend time with him and get to know him. And it also let me know that it reminded me how there's a verse in the Bible also talks about God's always knocking, Jesus is always standing outside your heart's door knocking. And you got to let him in. And he wants to spend time with you. He's there always for you. And he wants to get to know you. He never leaves you. It's just a beautiful thing. So I would say that's how they get to know Jesus. In addition to reading your Bible, prayer, and praying to God, you need to find a good Bible-based church that preaches the word, not watered down. Just make sure it's a solid, theologically sound church that preaches everything the Bible says, not adding to it or taking away from it. You need that. Every Christian needs that. It's kind of like saying a fish can't live without it being in water, right? Yeah. It's like, and a lot of Christians say things like, oh, well, you know, me and God are cool and I don't need to go to church to spend time with him. I can be in my hammock and the beach and just like talk to God. And yeah, you can talk to God from anywhere. I know there's also a verse in the Bible that says you shouldn't forsake the fellowship of believers or something like that.
Yeah.
But I know with this pandemic, most churches aren't meeting in person. However, there's still a lot of churches that meet online, just in just about every denomination that I know of.
I don't know if you found this, but I find that more people during our pandemic have been reaching out and questioning more about their faith and looking into who God is now that your mortality is questioned. I don't know if you found the same thing around you.
Yeah, I haven't seen it drastically changing. I mean, I know that that's always been the case on some level, but I have heard about that. So yes, it's kind of like they say there's no atheists on a crashing plane or a sinking ship.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. So you're an author. So what led you to become an author? How did you get over the fears of writing and putting your words out there for the whole world to read and see? Give us some insight into that.
Okay. So funny story. I was never really scared to get my words out there. I was eager to get my words out there like forever. I always just wanted to just write and be published. When I was a kid, I always just knew since I was nine, like in third grade, I think, that when I grew up, I wanted to be a writer and producer. And by that, I meant I wanted to write material like books. I thought initially just books that turn into movies. Not just any type of movie, but inspirational faith-based movies that really bring people to Jesus. I pursued it at every chance I got. When I went to high school, I joined the yearbook and journalism staff because I wanted to learn how to write better. And in college, I studied English at first because I thought that would help me learn more about writing, but then I found it wasn't the right fit and I wasn't really learning more about the mechanics of how to write well. I was learning more about analyzing good writing and just editing naturally, and that was kind of hard for me, very hard for me actually. So around that time I did a fast and I realized, oh, well, print journalism might work for me because in the study course guide it said that it trains you how to write for newspapers, magazines, radio, and one other thing, book publishing companies. And I was like, oh, that sounds the perfect fit. And before I even came to that revelation, the professor at that time, Stacy, the journalism professor, she pretty much recruited me because she saw within me a talent I didn't know I had. Because like I said, I always thought that I would just write books and turn into movies. And even though I was in the yearbook and journalism staff in high school, it never occurred to me, oh, well, maybe I could be a journalist when I grow up. So I started taking Stacy's classes to study print journalism. And I tell you, I mean, it was like the sun rising, but just about everything made perfect sense. And I was learning more of the mechanics of how to be a really good writer. It was just amazing. So I got my bachelor's in print journalism. And then I worked right after college, I had an internship at a faith-based magazine, but it was just an internship. They weren't hiring. But it
Okay.
was a good internship and I learned a lot. I got a job at a newspaper and as a reporter, and I was there for 5 years as a freelance reporter full time. And I really grew as an interviewer. I love the interview process, as you can see from my author interviews on my blog, right?
Yeah.
But I did that for 5 years, but then that company went through layoffs because of the budget. They couldn't afford to pay all of us anymore. So all the freelancers had to go. And then I also had gotten my MFA, my Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. So I pursued it straight through. I know how to write for just about anything now. My blog, books, movies, I studied that in grad school. Just about any format I know how to write in now. So I did my part in training the talents God gave me, and we'll see what's next.
Very cool. I love that. I love that you're very driven and you knew what you wanted to do and you've really made a great career out of it.
Yeah, I have four books now, three that are inspirational fiction, and my devotional book, this nonfiction that came out this April
Oh,
2020.
talk about your devotional book a bit. What caused you to write it?
Sure. So my devotional book is called Stories and Songs of Faith, My Journey with God. It is a 52-week devotional, so there are 52 devotionals in it. Long story how the book came to be. Took about a year and a half to write. It's a testimony and how it came to be too. But anyway, the format of devotionals is every devotional has a title first, then a Bible verse, and then the message of the devotional. The actual devotional itself, that is. And then two reflection questions at the end to really help the reader sink in the message and marinate on it. And then in the devotional, because I love music, I also mention a lot of faith-based songs, mainly contemporary Christian and gospel music. And of course, I didn't quote the lyrics because that's copyright issues I would run into if I had done that. So I paraphrased everything. And at the end of my book, you'll see there's a psalm directory. And that basically mentions every song that I mentioned in each devotional, and a link to YouTube for the what's the right word, the version of that song, because there's many different versions of every single song you can ever think of. But I have a link to the version that I was listening to when I mentioned that song in each devotional. And the cool thing is, if you're reading my devotional book on Kindle, you can just go to this the song directory at the end and click on the links on your Kindle and be taken straight to the song on YouTube. However, if you're, it's a hyperlink and it's, digital. But if you're reading it on a paperback copy, which is just as good, you just have to look it up yourself on YouTube, typing it in.
Okay. Cool. So I had another question as you were talking. Oh, I wanted you to give a brief testimony of how it came about, your devotional book. I was interested in that, if you don't mind sharing.
Sure. So how brief? How much time do I have? It's long.
You're good on time. You can go ahead. Yeah.
I'll tell you first how I started writing devotionals briefly. I started writing devotionals after recovering from a health crisis at age 16. And that's when God really met me. I got to know him for myself. Even though I grew up in a Christian home and I was baptized at age 15, it was during the recovery from the health crisis at 16 that I really kind of met God for myself and got to know Jesus for myself. And it's kind of like I always say he took me into his classroom and he is the master teacher, taught me a lot of life lessons. And I just wrote that down, from what God inspires me to write to from pen to paper. And that was how I started writing devotionals. And at that time, this is before, I know I'm dating myself, this is before blogs were created. There was called message boards that at the time, mainly just people in the arts entertainment industry had, like, the actors and TV shows, the musicians. I was following, well, a member of a message board that was hosted by two of my favorite Christian singers. And there was one of my friends I made on that message board who would write devotionals like several times a month. And after a few months of reading her devotionals, I was like, I think I want to do this. And so I've always been Miss Cautious, as my mother would say. So I asked permission, even I didn't, need to ask permission, I guess. But I asked everybody on the board, would you guys mind if I write devotionals too? And someone was like, well, nobody's stopping you. Go ahead for it. And so I did. And that's how I started sharing my devotionals. And then God just kept giving me opportunities after opportunities to write and share devotionals. After college, and a little shortly after that faith-based magazine internship, I'm trying to make sure I have the timeline right. I think it was about then. Yeah. I got recruited by an editor at a faith-based publication called Collegiate Quarterly, which is also known as CQ, to write in devotional format a column for the publication. And I would do that once a month, and they paid me for that. And so I did that for 5 years as well. And I also wrote and I still write devotionals for this women's devotional book that's published annually by my church. God had given me a lot of opportunities to continue writing devotionals and publishing them and sharing them. Even when not all opportunities are paid, I still took them. It just comes naturally to me and I love it. I've been doing that for a while. However, it hadn't dawned on me to actually put a book together of my own devotionals until last year. I think it was like January 2019. It just dawned on me one day. I was like, you know what? I've been doing this for a while now, more than a decade. Why don't I just have something of my own? And so what I did, I knew I already wrote a lot for other blogs. And I knew that they didn't own it because they didn't pay me for it. I didn't sign any contract. So I asked them just to be sure if it was still mine. And they said, yeah, sure. We publish anywhere you want. And so with that, I had about 30 devotionals from over the years from different blogs. And then I reached out to the women's ministry department of my church for their devotional book that they publish every year that I've been in for several years, more than a decade actually. And I asked if I could also republish those since they didn't buy it from me, because all the women who write for their book, they write on a volunteer basis. They don't sign a contract, they don't get paid. At first they said, well, yeah, probably, but let's check with legal. And legal said that I could reuse the devotionals. I would have to have a footnote citing like these technical terms about how they published it first. And so then I decided I didn't want footnotes in my own devotional book. I decided just to write my own original for the rest of the book. I thought I'd be good when I had 44 devotionals, but before I say that, let me backtrack a little bit. Before I even started writing more original devotionals, I was like, nothing's really getting done. I need to give myself deadlines. Because as a trained journalist and as the one who's worked as a journalist, I never missed a deadline and I always thrive under deadlines. So I was like, let me just do that because nothing's getting done right now. So at the time I signed up, I had previously, like a few months before, been writing devotionals for my friend, my late friend, because she died a few weeks ago. Yeah. Paige was her name, and she had a blog called Whispers in Purple. And I had been writing every now and then for that blog. And she had a sign-up form where all the writers were signed up to write for her blog. And then I noticed that usually her Faithful Fridays, is what she called the Friday post, they were usually empty on the sign-up form. And the Faithful Fridays were all about devotionals. I was like, oh, well, I'll just book myself out for the rest of the year. No one else is doing it, so I'll take it. I'll book myself out for Friday from like January to December. And I did. So every Friday, I only missed like a few, but just about every single Friday, I wrote a new devotional prior to Friday, and she published it that Friday of every week. And then by the time I got to 44 devotional, I thought I was done. But got worked through two professionals. One was the editor, named Dory, and she told me, you know, Alexis, it's great that you're having a devotional book, but you know, if it were 52 devotionals, then it could be an annual devotional, like a weekly one, where it's a devotional once a week. I was like, oh, okay. Thanks for the advice, because I was tired and I didn't want to write anymore. So I just kind of thanked her. I knew she knew what she was talking about, but I kind of had in my mind, I'm done. But then I also heard from a literary agent and she told me, you need to keep going. You need 52. And she's just as well-versed as Dory, but also because she's an agent, I figured, okay, well, maybe I need to go ahead and make myself write more. So I did. I put myself out through February of the new year, this year, and I wrote devotional number 52, I think at the last week of February. Okay. And so my book was all finished that March of this year. However, God also went through the editing side of things. Do you want to hear about that real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so prior to publishing my devotional book, my publisher had gotten a new editor named Patty. And Patty has a background. Well, Patty was assigned to me, and she also has a background in editing, guess what?
Devotionals.
Yes, for like 10 or 20 years prior to me even thinking of that. So God just lined that up. And I have to attribute Patty for letting God use her to come up with the perfect title for my book, because she knew how much I love music and how much I love storytelling. And so she's like, oh, Stories and Songs of Faith, My Journey with God. I like that. That does sound like a really good title. So yeah, that's the testimony behind the making of my devotional book.
That is very cool. And it's been out how long now?
Since April of this year.
Wow.
April 2020.
That is very cool. So you have four books. And did you self-publish, or this one was not self-published, it sounds like, but the other, have you self-published any?
My first book, Hope in My Heart, a collection of heartwarming stories, was self-published by initially Cross Books, which at the time was the imprint of B&H Publishing Group, you know, Priscilla Schreier and Beth Moore's company. Yeah. But CrossBus closed a year later. But it took care of their authors. They just moved us over to Westville Press, which is the imprint of Thomas Nelson and Zondervan. And so my book is branded by Westville Press since November of 2015. However, yeah, that was my only book that was self-published so far. I'm probably never self-publishing again. It costs too much. You pay a lot of money for the company to publish your book. Yeah, I can't do that anymore. It was a good experience, and I'm happy with the final product. My next two books that were also fiction, the first one was traditionally published by Cynthia Hickey of Winged Publications. At the time, it was under Forget Me Not Romances. It was also one of her companies. Well, it's the same company with, like, you know, different branches. And then that was published in January of 2017. Love and Pictures came out the next year with Cynthia's company, June 2018. And then Cynthia also gave me a contract for my devotional book, and that was published in April of 2020.
So before we go, I wanted to ask you, when did you decide that you were brave?
Ooh, another good question, Alexis. I'm going to take some moments to think about that too. Okay, so I think that actually I'm going to tell you a story to answer your questions. I never really knew I was brave, to tell you the truth. I never knew until someone, a total stranger, told me I was. And that stranger was a clerk at the Walmart in Billings, Montana. Let me tell you why I was in Billings, Montana. long time ago, I think, yeah, 2012, I got my first big break in journalism to be the editor and a reporter for a newspaper out there in Montana. As we're told in the journalism world, when you get your first big break, you go. No matter where it is, you go. And I also, my mom, God really worked through my mom too, because she was like, yes, everything's falling into place. God wants you to do this, I'm sure. You just need to go ahead and move. Everything's lined up for you. And so I did, and it was a blessing. However, it didn't work out long term. I wasn't there for the full year, but before it didn't work out, I was shopping for my apartment, and I was in Billings, Montana with my mom. My mom took off a week from work to help me relocate and get everything in place. So my mom and I had quite the adventure in Montana, and we drove to Billings. I didn't live in Billings. I lived like an hour away. And Billings, Montana is one of the major cities in Montana. We went to the Walmart that day to get stuff for my apartment. And my mom was telling the Walmart clerk how, yeah, my daughter moved all the way out here from Maryland just to take her first big break in journalism. And the clerk just looked at me and she was like, wow, you're so brave. And that's what I knew I was brave, because I wasn't, I don't know, I just never thought of myself as brave. But I was like, oh, I guess I am brave. I'm here by myself. I don't know anybody else here. Yeah. And God worked everything out. And he had me there for a reason. And I got affirmations for that too. That's another story for another day. But yeah, that's when I first realized, oh, I'm brave.
That was cool. And I went to Montana this summer. Wow, it's a different place from the East Coast. Beautiful mountains.
Oh, the air too, right?
It's so different. It's gorgeous there.
It's pretty, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Alexis, thank you so much. In my show notes, I will put all the info where people can find you. Your books, your blog, any writing services you offer, I will put it all there so people can connect with you. This has been a great interview. Thank you so much.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you for the interview.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Brave Podcast. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Alexis Goring. I will put all of her contact info in the show notes if you'd like to get a hold of her, pick up any of her devotionals or books, or follow her devotional, God is Love, it will be there for you. All right, so here are my three asks. The first ask is to subscribe. If you are loving what you're hearing and you want to get the episodes a day early, you can jump on our email list that is currently on my, I'm working out the website thing, guys, so I'm so sorry. So if you go to apeachandkelly.com and just subscribe there, I will put you over to the new website. I'm transitioning emails right now, and I'm still learning. I think I'm going to go with, it's the one with the monkey. I forget. It's the monkey one, if you guys know what I'm talking about. What is that email thing? That email list. Anyway, I'm going with a new email list and trying to figure that out. And so there's just a learning curve. So right now, just go over to www.apeachandkelly.com. Go to contact us, put your email there, and then you, boom, you're on the email list, and you'll get an email on Tuesday with the episode a day early, so you can listen to it if you'd like. You can find out about the Brave Podcast happenings on the email list. It's a great way. Also, you can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, any of those. You won't get them a day early, but at least you'll have them already in your like podcatcher, so you don't have to go search for it because there's a lot of great podcasts out there. Secondly, share the episode with a friend. If you heard something today that you loved and feel like it would benefit another person, especially if you have any writing friends, this would be a good episode for them. Go ahead and share the episode. And then finally, ratings. Ratings really helps me learn what you guys are loving, what I need to work on. I really appreciate your feedback and just enjoy all the comments and just people who are really awesome in public who are like, hey, like, I love what you're doing. I'm proud of the podcast. Good job. I love all that feedback. So thank you guys so much. I am so appreciative of you. I hope you guys are having a good month. It is February. My 2021 is already taken off. Next week's episode will be really great. We're going to have another author on. He has a history of substance abuse and he is very open about his journey. And I just had a blast talking to him. So be sure to tune into the episode. All right. Thank you guys so much and we'll catch you next time. Bye.